Let us continue in prayer with a prayer for illumination. Dear God, as we now turn to your word to us in Scripture, we pray for your blessing. Send your Holy Spirit to be here among us, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight. O God, our Savior and our Redeemer. Amen. Our scripture lesson for today comes from the book of Acts, the first chapter. Listen for God's holy word. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over the course of 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or the periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God, and let all God's people say, Amen. Amen. Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus is a hard question to answer. I suspect that many or all of us would struggle to answer that question if we were quickly put on the spot someday on the street. Our scripture story for today would have us believe that Jesus is in heaven with God the Father. In the story of the ascension, Jesus leaves our earthly realm, and according to his own words and millennia of Christian tradition, he ascends, still fully divine and fully human, bodily and glorified following his resurrection. He ascends into heaven. Where is Jesus? According to Acts chapter 1, Jesus is in heaven at the right hand of God the Father. But things get more complicated when we consider this thing that we're going to do in just a few minutes, communion. As many traditional Christian beliefs about communion refer to the idea, the belief, the conviction that Jesus is really and truly present to us when we celebrate communion. Jesus himself, his body, his blood, his person, his being, his grace is present with us, according to Christian tradition, in some important and powerful way when we celebrate communion. So my question is this, can it be both? Can Christ be ascended in heaven at the right hand of God the Father? And can he also be here with us as we celebrate communion? Have you ever thought about that conundrum? Yeah? Mark went to seminary, so he's saying, yes, I have. This was a big fight. There was a big fight over just this very issue in the early days of the Reformation. Before the Reformation, Roman Catholic beliefs taught that as the priest said the words of institution, the elements of communion, the bread and the wine, became, in a literal sense, in a miraculous way, the bread and the wine became the actual body and blood of Christ, present, full of grace and power for the congregation gathered that day. In the early days of the Reformation, one of the first reformers, Martin Luther, He taught a version of that same Roman Catholic idea. Luther had no reason to do away with the idea that Jesus was literally present in communion. So he retained the idea that in communion, Christ's body and blood were literally present in or under or amid the elements of the communion table. Other reformers, especially those in Switzerland, dismissed this idea. They asked, how could the risen and ascended Christ be divided into tiny little particles and spread all over the Christian world every time ministers celebrate communion? They argued that the bread and the wine, remained bread and wine. Nothing special or miraculous had happened on the table during communion. This meal was simply a meal done in remembrance of Jesus' Last Supper and his death and his resurrection. To these reformers, it was important to affirm that Jesus remained in heaven, ascended at the right hand of God the Father, just like we learn in Acts chapter 1. Even during communion, Jesus is there in heaven and not made physically present on the communion table. It was a scandal to them to suggest that we ministers are able to divide Jesus and seemingly control him by splitting him into millions of pieces and dragging him down to heaven by the magic sounding words of our communion liturgies. I wonder if we resonate more with that concept than with the Roman Catholic idea. I think we resonate more with these reformers who see communion as just a human remembrance and not something truly miraculous. That point of view is perhaps more easy to swallow. But throughout much of Christian history, there has been an abiding sense that God does do something special, something miraculous for us through our sacraments, through baptism and the Lord's Supper. In the bread and the cup, in the action of breaking and partaking of the loaf, in the action of pouring the wine and drinking of the cup, in the community that gathers around this communion, in the celebration, in the opening prayers and the closing prayers. Personally, I can say that I have found God doing something special through our communion practice. I have found God working in me, and I feel God working in my fellow Christians as well. I have to say that when we celebrate communion, it feels like something special is happening. That perhaps Christ is here, present in a mysterious and a powerful way. And so I wonder, are there only these two choices? When we celebrate communion, must it be either that Jesus is dragged down from heaven, or is it that nothing divine is happening at all? Good news. John Calvin has found a middle way. John Calvin, the theological father of our tradition, our Reformed tradition, he felt this same tension between these two points of view. He, like his Lutheran friends, believed that Jesus was present in communion. But he also believed, along with his Reformed friends in Switzerland, that Jesus had ascended into heaven and he waits there for his second coming. And so after much struggle and study and contemplation, Calvin found and taught a middle way. Rather than teaching that Jesus is dragged down from heaven to our communion tables, rather than teaching that Jesus' body and blood are separated and spread all over to every church where communion is happening on a Sunday morning, Calvin found in Scripture and in the tradition of the Church Fathers the idea that in communion, it is not Christ who is dragged down to us, but instead it is us. It is us who are brought up, drawn up into heaven. It is not Christ who is dragged down, but it is us. We who participate in communion. We who, by the power of the Holy Spirit, are gathered together and drawn into Christ's heavenly presence. Calvin taught that rather than Christ being brought down to us, in our celebration of communion, the Holy Spirit, in power and in grace, gathers us together and then draws us by faith into the very throne room of heaven, where we find ourselves in the very real presence of Christ, who therefore meets us in our communion celebration and showers us with God's love, God's forgiving grace, and God's powerful provision. This was Calvin's solution, and I find it thrilling and deeply satisfying. When I studied and read about this idea for the first time in seminary, it transformed my perception of communion. Calvin taught that in communion, the Holy Spirit brings us, transports us, draws us into Christ's presence, and there, drawn up as we are into God's heavenly courtroom, throne room, we are made to be a part of the heavenly celebration which has been underway since Christ rose victorious on that first Easter morning. For the time being, I, as a Christian, can affirm and seek to believe more and more that Christ is in that realm of divine existence that we commonly call heaven. As Acts chapter 1 depicts, and as Christian tradition has taught, for the time being, that is where Christ is. Christ is in heaven. From that place of universal significance, we know that there is nowhere that we can go where we are outside of Christ's perception and Christ's care. There is nowhere where we can go where we're not covered by the forgiving grace that Christ has won for us on the cross and in his resurrection. But it is also the case that from time to time, as we celebrate communion, in doing so, the Spirit of God gathers us together and draws us up into Christ's heavenly presence. Christ, the Spirit, draws us together and draws us up and seats us at the feast that God has been offering and the heavenly courts have been celebrating since Christ's victory over sin and death and the grave. As wonderful as this might be, the promise of the gospel gets even better. For Christ Jesus has promised to one day flip that script. Rather than drawing us up into heaven to partake in the celebration happening in the throne room therein, Christ has promised to one day return in the same manner in which he departed. He will return, and in doing so, Christ will bring the party in heaven back here to earth. Until then, we have obedient work to do. We have work to do in faithfulness and obedience to Christ. We have the work to do to be his witnesses, to spread the good news that forgiveness is real, that new life is possible, free of sin and sorrow, shame and fear. We have work to do to witness to the reality and to help others know that the party is already happening in heaven and that everyone is invited. Thanks be to God. Amen.